The time we have left, let me just continue what I was sharing last time. I just want to make some points about the issue of the fast that is recognized for believers in Christianity. Let's read a few portions of the scriptures to help us get on started again. First of all, let's open our Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. We read that one last time. Let's just read it again. And also we read from the book of Acts. All right. Let's just read from that, Isaiah chapter 58 first. It said, I don't want to read everything because we read it last time. I don't want to spend all the time on it. There's a portion of it I want to read, especially from verse 13. But so that we can take it in context, let's just go over from verse 1, I'll run. He said, cry loudly, do not hold back. Then in verse 2, he said, okay, let me start again. He said, cry loudly, do not hold back. All right? Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. I now said to them that you seek me day by day and all of that as a nation that has done righteousness. He said in verse 3, this is what they say. Why have we fasted and thou dost not see? And the Lord answered, because in verse 4, he said, because you fast, he said, behold, you fast for contention and for strife and all of that. In verse 6, he says, is this not the fast which I choose? Now, if you see the preceding verse, he said, is it a fast like this which I choose? A day for a man to humble himself? Then he says some things. I'm trying to rush, please, so as to get to where I really want to get to. And now to them from verse 6, this is the kind of fast I have chosen. It is not a day, it's not one thing that you do for a season. It's a new lifestyle that you move into. You loosen the bonds of wickedness, you undo the bands of the yoke, and you let the oppressed go free. He said, verse 7, you share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house. Then in verse 8, he said, if you do all these things, then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, here I am. Now, if you go down to verse 11, he said, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Now, I just wanted to get that one back into our minds. We read it last time and talked about it extensively. Now, read on from verse 13. I will read the whole of this. He said, if because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you shall honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. That is, you will enjoy walking with God. That's what he was saying. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now, please, if you continue reading, you see, he said, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save. That's verse 1 of chapter 29. Neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Let us stop there, please. Now, let's read the other one we're reading before, the book of Acts, chapter 13, please. Sorry. We're talking about fasting in prayer, that is the role of fasting in prayer. The Bible says in verse 1, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, and gave us their names. And he said in verse 2, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And then you see that the Holy Spirit began to work in their lives. He said in verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. Now, let me just stop there. What I wanted to bring out is the fact that some men gathered, and then they fasted and prayed, and then the Holy Spirit spoke. Let me review some of the things I've said here and there. I don't want to skip us for longer than is necessary, or just because I began to speak late. Here and there, I have explained something again and again. Let me just state them again as a matter of fact. Hunger and fasting are not the same thing in Christianity. I do not have time today now to start analyzing the different phases of walking with God and the different covenants. But in Christianity, what I find these days is that, and it's very popular, and very few people say differently. I'm one of the very few I know that say that, but we still have to teach the truth. So for those that will be blessed by it, let them hear it. People feel that anytime you want to pray, you must be hungry. They have this feeling that it shows the seriousness of the prayer. And I said last time, it doesn't. If you have appetite, and you deliberately suppress the appetite so that you will pray, it's just for your own good. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, maybe you save money, it's good. You know, if you are not eating, you save money. Now, that's a joke. Amen. Or you're watching your weight, or whatever it is. But it in itself does not increase the potency of your prayer. It does not in any way. It does not in any way. It doesn't. I explained that we have to be careful that we do not carry over what is idolatry into Christianity. In this, what the Bible calls abasement of the flesh. It's part of religions generally. Fasting is not unique to Christianity. Satan is the fast. Are you getting my point? So going hungry is not the unique thing about it. When people... Now listen to this. It's very important we balance it. I began this last time. I want to sit on my... There's something I want to talk about today. All right, let me not sit all the time. Spend all the time sitting on what we said last time. But I just need to say it again. Now, because of this carryover from idolatry and into from normal religion, people carry it into Christianity. They will unconsciously think that if I punish myself, I am more likely to be heard with God. And I'm telling us again, it is not so. Let me say what we've been talking about again and again, talking about the matter of righteousness. The reason why God hears you is because you pray in the name of Jesus. That's the only reason. If a hungry man prays in the name of Jesus, he's heard. If a man that has finished eating prays in the name of Jesus, he's also heard. Are you getting my point? It's very important we get that. So people say that the problem was severe. So they declared a 40-day fast. Let me say this categorically. In Christianity, you cannot give the number of days of your fast ahead. And it will be legitimate. If you give the number of days of hunger, now please try and balance what I'm going to say very well. All right? You're most likely, and it's a one-time thing, you're most likely just practicing religion. You have not stepped into the light that is in Christ. You haven't. And you'll see my reason in a moment. Let me quickly tell you my reason. When Daniel went to pray, you understand? He was praying for how many weeks before the angel showed up? 3 weeks. He did not know it was going to be 3 weeks. I want this as an illustration. There was a problem. He needed an answer. And in those days, Daniel did not eat any pleasant food. It was not our kind of fast. What happened is that he just ate to keep body and soul together. What the opposite of that is that your friend is doing birthday party, you go there, you sit down. My son was doing birthday party over the weekend. We sat down there and we were dancing and eating plenty of food. All right? That is the opposite of fasting. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you're in the place of feasting. The Bible talks about the place of mourning. It's better to enter into the house of mourning than the house of feasting. So that are the two different things. So when a man is like Daniel kind of fast, on that lengthy fast, it is not as if he does not eat. It's just that he does not feast. Please try and get what I'm saying. That is, his life is focused on an issue at hand and he does not have time for frivolities. Are you getting my point? He doesn't have time for it. He doesn't have time for it. When you say that, listen, let us go. There's a party happening. The man has to pray. Are you getting my point? The man has to study. And I'm getting to something today. The man has to hear the word of God so he does not have your time. You cannot be where they are jamming music, no matter how spiritual the music is. Are you getting my point? And you are dancing. Everybody's like, hey, oh, hey. You are not singing, amen? It's just that you are not also hearing from heaven. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's a time for celebration in Christianity. When the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. That was a voice of celebration. Are you getting my point? When the armies of Egypt were destroyed in the Red Sea, what happened after was rejoicing. It was celebration. And it is right and legitimate, in fact, not right and legitimate. It is necessary that periodically you make a lot of noise. If you see a man, a woman who's always sober and very serious, that fellow is not spiritual. Are you getting my point? He just has a quiet, introverted nature. He's not spiritual at all. That was what shocked people when David began to dance. So that if he's really spiritual, he shouldn't be dancing like this. That was what Micah thought. But that was spiritual because everything has a season. There is a time for everything. Go and read that, Ecclesiastes 3. There is a time to rejoice and there's a time to refrain from rejoicing. Now, I want to talk about that timing thing in Christianity again. So I wanted to establish that again. The reason why you are ahead has nothing at all to do with whether you are hungry or not. I discussed that last time. What is it in Christianity? We still read from this book of Acts. That's the point I want to make. Now, please, notice that what the first one we read from Isaiah chapter 58, he explained that in verse 13, he said, if because of the Sabbath, you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day, and then you call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and you honor it, desisting from your own ways and from seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Now, please bear that one in mind. I'm going to refer to it now in a moment. Now, let's get back to the issue of fasting. So what is fasting about, therefore, in Christianity? I said it last time. I'm continuing from that point today. I've connected now. You see from that book of Acts, the people gathered and they were ministering to the Lord. What do we mean? This is my understanding of it, even though it was not categorically stated to us. Somebody was speaking the word of God, possibly, exhorting people about God's greatness. Just by the way, let me just quickly tell you something, by the way. A colleague of mine in the office early this morning, from where I came now, he came, he saw me. I was using his office. That was where we all gathered for some of the exams. So he met me inside his office. So we began to talk as a believer. Told me where he went to preach, I think over the weekend or yesterday. And we're just talking. And I said, there was one man that met him. Was it the one that... Anyway, along the way, some of the things I've been saying, I was so happy somebody else was saying it, that there's this thing about Christians in Nigeria today, that they behave as if Islam is, you know, is attacking, as about to take everything over. Have you noticed that? He said, yes, maybe they have their own plans and their own strategies. He said, but... I think somebody was preaching that to him. We discussed with somebody. That they not like, let's hide, block our end. If you hear that Sultan of Sokoto came to Enugu, people say, can you imagine? What are they looking for in Enugu? What are you looking for in Enugu? The question is, why have you not gone to Sokoto? I don't know whether you get the issue there. You are supposed to be on the advancing end. You are not sitting there. And listen, I'm not good with football. Is that okay? But there's something I learned long ago, and I didn't understand why footballers didn't practice it. Attack, they said, is the best form of what? Defense. The only reason, physically speaking, why Nigeria was knocked out by Italy in the second round of USA 94 was because Westerhoff made one tactical error. He had one goal up on the Italians. When those guys took out Amokachi, you understand? He decided to defend that goal. That was why he lost. If you saw the way they were playing from the beginning, if they had just, don't care if Italy is going to beat you, let them beat you. But beat them, please, if you can. You don't hold them with the one goal. Look, even this last one, Nigeria won. Did you see them defend that one goal? They didn't defend the one goal. They were looking for more goals. That made it impossible for their opponent to equalize. So the game ended with one goal. I'm about to get off my message. I want to talk about ministering to the Lord. So people gather and start talking against the Lord. They start magnifying what Islam is doing, what Satan is doing. That's not how you minister to God. When you gather, you magnify what God is doing. Are you getting my point? I believe one of the ways by which they were ministering to God in that book of Acts chapter 13 that we are reading here is that they were talking about the Lord. Because really, you can't feed God with anything. Are you getting my point? I believe they were there singing songs of praise, not magnifying what the devil. Islam is about to kill all of you. If you don't get up, defend your homes. Once you start, they will, you know, it's a spiritual battle. In fact, Kenneth Hagin said something, that the reason why persecution came upon the church that was in Jerusalem, go and read your Bible. The persecution was against the church in Jerusalem. He said the reason why persecution came upon the church that was in Jerusalem was simply because years after, maybe decades, after Jesus had gone up,
they were still in Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the commandment was, you shall be my witnesses first in Jerusalem, in Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. But the people were still in Jerusalem. So God said, okay, please scatter them for me. And the Bible says, those that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. Ken Hagin said, if they had bothered to go everywhere preaching the gospel, without being pushed with persecution, that persecution may not have come, or it would have been milder. Let me talk about ministering to the Lord again. I believe when they were ministering to God, they were magnifying the works of God. How exactly they did it, I don't know. I'm just trying to put many things together. They were singing praises. Somebody sang a praise. Somebody shared an experience that they had when the Lord Jesus was still with them. They were just talking and interacting with the Word of God. And at such times, like I told you last time, you don't take a break to go and feast. You don't take a break when you're in the presence of the Spirit of God to go and eat. And that was why the word was used. And they fasted. And then they continued in the presence of God. Now, like I told you, there's something I want to say today. And that is the fact that the word of God has two sides. We were taught this when I was in university. Let me speak big English a bit, all right? There's what is called the Logos. Many of you, if you have ever studied the scriptures, you've heard it taught by Word of Faith people, you must have heard the word Logos before. You even hear ministries called Logos Assembly. Logos ministry. In fact, the number of Logos ministries on this earth must be at least 2,000. It can be the written Logos, the abiding Logos, the effective Logos, the rejuvenated Logos, the Logos Incorporated, Logos Church, Logos Assembly, Logos Christian Church. You know what I mean? The Logos is very well, it's very, very, I mean, very popular in Christianity. Now, what is that Logos? Logos is, well, we're not discussing details now, but is the totality of the thoughts of God, and we apply it to the written word of God. The word Logos is used for word, but it's also thoughts, the same thing. Both of them combined, the word of God and the thoughts, the ideas, the concepts, everything that God has planned. So people often refer to the Bible as the Logos when they're saying the word of God. Usually the Logos. Even Jesus was called the Logos. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Now, what is this? The second word is Rhema. What is Rhema? There are different definitions again, but I want to bring out something, so follow me, all right? I'm not trying to be academically accurate. I want to bring out a thought to you, okay? Now, these are the things I learned about Rhema. Some say literally it means the spoken word of God. I like the way Yonggi Cho said it that time. He said, is the word of God uttered to a specific person at a specific time for a specific purpose? That is, stretch out your rod over the Red Sea and divide it. Only worked that day. I don't know whether I get the point. Tomorrow, if the Assyrians are pursuing you and you're in front of the Blue Sea, you may bring out the rod and say, it worked yesterday. And it does not work today. What is the Logos? The Logos is that God is a deliverer. Are you getting my point? The Rhema for today is the Red Sea has to be parted for you to move to the other side. So stretch out your rod over the Red Sea and divide it. And he did, and the Red Sea was divided. The following day, it may not work on that Red Sea. The following day, it may be, don't run, stay there. When they were being attacked by the Philistines under Samuel, Samuel said, we are busy. Nobody's running anywhere. Then thunder and lightning and rain and hail will not start fighting the Philistines. It is still God the deliverer. Are you getting my point? What is the Logos? God is the deliverer. What is the Rhema? What is the specific instruction to activate the Logos of God at that particular point in time? Are you getting my point? Now, what is the application of that? What it means, therefore, is that it is not everything about your life that's written in the Bible. The Lord has a word about your life. Are you getting my point? About everything, I wanted to say. About everything in your life. Everything. Including the kind of breakfast you should eat. I'm telling you. Some of them come to you naturally. Some don't. Now listen to this. What is the effect of that Rhema? The spoken word, which is a direct instruction to you at a particular point in time. Now, just by the way, that's why Christians make a lot of mistakes. People hear that one man sold a, let me not say things that make me look like I'm attacking somebody. One man sowed a seed of $500, and in 5 days he got 500 miracles. Are you getting my point? Did it happen? Possibly. All right. Once in a while it happens. I'm telling you, it happens. It's in the scriptures. Things like that happened. Everybody now queue up. Hey, oh boy. Is it a walk? Why are we walking? Now follow me. You get $500 there. Sow and invest. And they start queuing up and they start sowing. You know what happens? I hope I'm the preacher on the other side. I will collect the money. It's free will offering, amen? And you will use it and you will be blessed. They will not be blessed. Yes. And that's why that's the confusion in Christianity. People start using stories to prove that a real man walked 6 years ago. It was given at that time. Let me give you an example. How many widows will have come to the door of the other widow to see Elijah? And they'll say to him, good morning, sir. We hear that when it is only food for one person that is left, once you chop half, the other half no go finish. All the widows in Israel, they will queue up. You know, say Elijah. But if you be like some preachers, he go chop all the half. Then all of you will not die one day faster. Because the food was supposed to keep you alive for 2 days, you die after one day because you gave half of it away. So people queue up to give half away, hoping they will live longer. And the pastor, that's Elijah, gets fatter, and they get dire faster. Do you like that word? I just invented it. Anyway, they die faster. Why? Because they heard the story. They did not understand that what mattered, like I told you before, was that woman cried to God. Are you getting my point? And the rima was, thus says the Lord. Elijah didn't say, give me so that it won't finish. He said, give me because it will not finish. There's a difference. I don't know whether I heard that. It wasn't give me. Just check. If God allows it to finish, I'm not the prophet of God. It was not, you know, someone said, if God doesn't bless you in 2 days after this offering, come and collect refund. If they tell you that and you believe it, you, your head has a problem. They tell you that kind of thing. The woman said, if God doesn't bless you in 3 days, come and meet me. I will refund your money. Just the okay, Pastor Banky has warned me against people like you. Are you following what I'm saying? Because for that widow, the word of God went forth. This will not finish. Therefore, don't be afraid to share. Give me, I'm hungry. This food is not going to finish. And like I always say, blessings are commanded. Take this from me. Elijah came with one dose. You know the miracles were measured. I hope you know they were measured. That was why Elisha was able to do just double, for having a double portion. He had just one dose. Once he released that in the house of that widow, it don't finish. If Elijah wanted to give somebody else a miracle, he had to check inside again. God, what is your word for this person? He didn't have a formula that worked all the time, which we have in modern day Christianity. Oh, if you are broke, take that last one, bring it. As a prophet of God, once I eat it, you will not be broke again. Anyway, there are different kinds of Christians. There are those who are looking for miracles. There are those who are looking for God. Those who are looking for miracles, go that way. I've told you, if you have a problem, what do? Pray. What did I say? Pray. If God now says, that's where I'm going actually. As part of the answer to your prayer, go and look for that man of God and give him this. Then you go as instructed. How will you know? We'll talk about that later, all right? But I'm giving you the way it works. Because when Elijah had a problem, when the widow had a problem, Elijah went there. Elijah simply said, what do you have? This is what I have. Now give me small, may I eat? It's not enough. Don't worry, bring it, because thus is the Lord. Another widow came, but this time around to Elisha. Elisha said, what do you have? I have a cruse, is it a jar of oil? It's okay. Take that jar of oil. Don't bring it to us. We don't need that offering right now. Go to your house. Borrow many jars. Go inside. Make sure you don't borrow few. When you have gone in, lock the door. And then begin to pour. He didn't collect anything. There's no one formula about it. The important thing is that God is the provider. And the prophet must get that rima from God before he gives you one instruction. Anything he doesn't get direct, just follow divine written principles. People don't understand that. There is no principle of the scripture that says you give $58, you will get the 58 blessings in the Bible. Because if that is the case, then give 58 naira. Yeah, it's true now. Why must I convert it to dollar? Because 58 was the problem. I hope you are getting the principle. Did anybody ever give $58 to get 58 blessings? Maybe, per adventure. Is it now an eternal principle? No, it is not. The only eternal principle is this. There are a number of them. Let me drop two again. One, whatever you ask, you will receive if you ask in the name of Jesus. That's number one. The second eternal principle is this. Continual doing of good works is the commandment for the life of the believer. Sow your seed in the morning. At night, don't hold back your hands. You don't know which one will prosper. Those are two eternal principles. You can't take anything away from those two. So I do good continually. If I have a problem, I pray. Elijah may get a rima. And that rima says, and it's happened, you know. I remember one of my friends, he said he was in church. One of these pastors in Lagos. He just said as he was praying, he said, this week, somebody is about to receive a phone call. You hear things like that all the time. He said, but when he heard it, he knew this one is my own. That as soon as he heard it, he said, I rejoice at thy word as him that finds great spoil. That he started rejoicing that week. I think one of his friends, maybe he went to see one of his friends. Let me not mix too many stories up. Somebody just told him that there's somebody that he used to give the numbers if you want to contact me. And I just said, I've been looking for you now. You are this one who said you should come. He had to go to another fellow. That one removed the tie for him. I hope I'm not mixing two people's stories up. He ran to the place. Today is the day of interview. He heard it that week. They went there. They interviewed him. Gave him a job Nigerians will kill for. Are you getting my point? There are different ways. That one was a rim. He said when they said it in church, he just need this one is my own. Please, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to explain. Now, there's a reason why I'm going to all of this. Because God has a specific word for every situation in your life. There was a time that Hezekiah was sick. And then they said, put your house in order. Listen to this, for you will die and not live. You know the way the Bible talks, all right? So let me just read it. I want to just bring out something there. This is Isaiah chapter 38. It's also in 2 Kings chapter 20. But let's just read this one. Then Ezekiel now prayed. All right? And then God spoke to him. God sent a word through Isaiah. I'm trying to get something out. Now, of all the things that happened, there's something I want to bring out. When God said a word to Isaiah, you know, Ezekiel was sick. He had, what looked like a ball to them in the leg, you understand? And as a doctor now, I'm thinking of many things he could have been, you understand? And then from that sickness, he was going to die. So death is spiritual. It's not really an illness in itself. It's spiritual. It's not the illness that kills. It's a spiritual thing. So God spoke to him that he was going to die. Then he prayed. Then this, you read many things. But if you read verse 21 of that chapter, chapter 38, you see, the Bible says, now Isaiah had said, let them take a cake of figs and apply it to the boil that he may recover. Are you getting my point? What was the miraculous activity there? You know what I'm saying? What action did they take? Take a cake of figs, apply it there. The next man who had the boil, put it there, he will die. I don't know whether I get my point. That was a specific word. At the time, that man came. He came to Elisha. He said to him, go to the Jordan and dip 7 times. The normal way prophets healed those days was that they waved their hand over the place and called upon the name of God. How do I know? That was what Naaman expected. But it didn't work like that this time around. Please, I'm going somewhere. Every problem in your life, there are two sides. There is a logos, which is God is the healer. God is the deliverer. We've seen that. But then there is oftentimes a specific activity to engage in which is an instruction from above. Are you getting my point? Which will activate that healing power of God, which will activate the delivering power of God. How do you get that? That's the point I'm coming to in all of these things. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's get back to where we are. As they ministered to God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, and that's what I want to talk about. That's what I'm trying to build up to. Christians, it's good we have the logos. We have the knowledge of the word of God. But oftentimes, there is a specific instruction that solves your own problem at that particular point in time. That's what we need. We are not trying to impress God and make him move. Let me put it like this. It is not as if God says, my son, I have seen all your cries. How you have gone hungry for my sake. You love me so much, your stomach almost has holes from hunger. I don't want to use the word fasting because I think it is confusion in Christianity. What we call fasting today is actually hunger. What should a believer do? Let me just talk because of time. I'm going to emphasize that we need time regularly. One, as a regular matter. I read that Isaiah chapter 58, the last two verses, to bring us something here. There's what the Bible calls the Sabbath of God. I've talked about it again and again. There's a number of ways you look at it. One, under the old covenant, they had a specific day. But if you look at the application under the new covenant, as I explained it there, it talks about, one, don't speak your own word. Don't run after your own things. That has to be a lifestyle. It is not as if God on Saturdays, I don't speak my own word, I speak your word alone, which is what a lot of Christians do. I hope you have understood my point. The Sabbath of Christianity is I never, ever speak my own word. Everything I say must be founded upon the word of God. Speaking God's word doesn't mean I always recite. He said, how are you this morning? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Praise God, I'm not walking in the counsel of the ungodly this morning, so I must be blessed. No. How are you this morning? I told you there was a time my answer was, life is good. Why did I used to say that? I had just read, oh God, I had studied the word of God that filled me up to here. So when you say, how are you? That was my real answer. Life is good. It had nothing to do with what I had. The answer was founded upon the revelation, that is the understanding of the word of God. So I said to you, life is good. So I don't speak my own word. That's what he said. It can be a lifestyle. You talk about the economy, you talk about your life, you talk about things. What is God saying? Now I'm bringing an issue here. That's the Sabbath of God. That's one of the operations of it. But there's a second side, which is very crucial. Christians, one, you must sleep well. I'm trying to get into it now. After a particular time, my computer must be off. If I'm not sleeping, when I say, don't think that what is a bad thing you stay up doing at night. Most of the time, I'm writing a sermon, uploading a message, checking something on our website, checking things like that. That's what keeps me awake a lot of times. I say, even that one is not good. You hear what I said? It's not good. God gave us 24 hours in a day. You can't make it 36. Let me tell you the truth. If you try to make it 36, you will succeed though. Except that the extra 12, you are collecting it from your future. I know what I'm saying. If you are, let's assume you are 30 now, you can't collect 12 extra hours every day. If you're supposed to live to be 100, they are taking it from the other end. So after you have lived like 5 years, in which you have collected 2.5 extra, your longevity has dropped to the other end, from to 98 and a half. So you are catching up with your day of death very rapidly. There's a hard work. Listen, the Bible says there's a time for everything. I tell believers, that your phone, quench them for night. What if somebody wants to call me at night? What are you? Fire service. Before the days of GSM, were they not surviving? Business can come anytime. The business that doesn't come when you are awake is not your own. He said, Pastor, he said we should put off our phones. The man said he called me yesterday. I said, 10, he was calling me. My phone was off. By 6 this morning, he got tired. He called somebody else. And that business was like 35 million. Now I have lost it. According to, what's his name? P-Square. Ole Buruku. This is what you are. You want to take somebody else's job. It's not your own. If he gave it to somebody else, it was that person's own. Don't cry over it. If it was your home, the guy will call you back next day. It's a believer's mentality. Sabbath rest. Say, no. I can't stop working. If you don't go to this work, they will just finish the business for you. Any business that's like that, 24 hours you must be there. Otherwise, if you finish, God didn't give it to you. He didn't send you there. I don't care how much money you are making in it. They are helping. You are using your future. You understand my point? Your days of as an old man. Now they make person sick where they old. The life force don't finish. He finished the life force when he was 45. All the days he's living after the age of 45. Now, is what Moses called days of labor and hardship. When Moses was lamenting, the days of our life, 70 years, and then if by strength, 80, is that all those days they are sorrow. That's what he meant. We have struggled and labored. We don't sleep. 6 o'clock? I don't mean that. I meant 4 o'clock. We don't wake up. 12, we finally go back to bed. You do that for a few years. Believe me, you are not a blessed man. You are not a blessed woman. You are walking under a curse. I don't care whether you are living in Lagos or Port Harcourt or Abuja. I don't care. If you live in Lagos, there are those who don't. Blessed people in Lagos don't even wake up on time. I hope you know. It's all these suffering and struggling people that wake up like that. Those who are really blessed, they don't wake up like that. I told the story of one of my friends. He lives, my wife knows what I'm talking about. He lives in Ikeja, he's been everything. Big guy, big. One day his company left their head, took the headquarters from Ikeja to the island. He told them, this is the amount of money you add to my salary. You give me a car, you give me this, you give me that. They said you couldn't do it. He resigned. He said, I am not going to be commuting from here. I said, unless you guys want to go and hire me a house in VI. This is the amount of money. They said they couldn't. He left them. Set your eyes on things like that. Don't say this Lagos, there's opportunity. Opportunity. You can't sleep. Because you're looking for the opportunity. Anywhere you go in life, make sure that you can sleep. When I was in Lagos those days, I used to have people say, I don't go anywhere. You come to loot, you will find me there. If I'm not there, I'm in church. If I'm not in church, I'm there. If I'm not in this place, then I'm not in town. I traveled. I'm bringing an issue. Christians must sleep well. Amen? Amen? It is not the will of God. In fact, if you pray all night very frequently, you must have committed something. Why is it that your own prayer cannot be heard during the day? Why? You must be a sinner of some sort. No, there is, because you know some people, churches, you know what we do a lot of times? We do all night on Friday night and sleep all day Saturday morning. So I said, listen, why don't you just sleep when you're supposed to sleep? Then rush out 6 o'clock on Saturday, come to church and pray till 12. But you know, we had this all night. You know, that's when the devils are outside. We have to moderate the activities of the devil, traffic controller of devil. You know, he has to go out and check the traffic. You know, that's when traffic is heavy. I hope you're... I'm talking about Sabbath. Are you getting my point? A Christian must have a sabbatical, you know, some of what I'm trying to say there, attitude towards life. No hustle beyond a certain time. Somebody said, please, oh, we have to see. What is the business about to land? When? This night? Say, no, I'm asleep. You are not serious. I'm very serious. If you call this number again in 5 minutes, I'll put it off. And you know, just by the way, you know something about business. What they say, it's a lie. Most of those, nah, lie. No, you have to make a commitment now because somebody else is asking for it too. Say, give the other person. If you don't want, and call me back by tomorrow. Then they will come back there tomorrow. It's just because of previous relationship. That's why I'm just calling you back. I knew you were going to call me back. All this time, they do me shakara. Get away, my friend. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. I'm talking about the sabbatical attitude. I'm explaining something. So, the principle of Sabbath is what I'm talking about. Let's go back to those people. They ministered to God. They were ministering to God, and they were fasting. That's what I'm trying to explain. Now, a believer, get what I'm saying? Apart from this general Sabbath attitude towards life, I was saying that you must also take time out. I got sidetracked back into that issue of taking rest. I said, one, you must rest regularly. Secondly, you must take a time. Now, then God gave a commandment to believers, to the Israelites, not to work 6 p.m. on Friday to 6 p.m. on Saturday. That was weekly. But let's not even try and stick with a 24-hour everyday rule. Now, it's an example. All right? A Christian, however, must regularly take time out. Now, let me say something to you. when you are very busy and very, very busy, that's why I'm getting to know all of these things, you find it hard to decipher the rhema of God. That's what I'm trying to get in all of these things. Why do Christians fast, therefore? That's what I'm saying. Fasting is what people think is about hunger. It has nothing to do with hunger. In fact, you know, I say this, people laugh, but I actually mean it literally. If you start on your so-called fast, and you have to rebuke your stomach from feeling hunger, it's a waste of time. Go to your fridge and use the God-ordained instrument for rebuking the stomach. It's called a slice of bread. It's the bread of life. Pour a glass of water. It's nothing. Look, there's nothing unspiritual about it. Chew the slice of bread, drink the glass of water, go back. Listen, you will have, even the demon of destruction will not be able to worry you at that time. It is not ungodly what I have told you. You know what I'm saying? So, a lot of people, why they still say, no, it's because you think it is your hunger God is examining. And I'm teaching you today that it's not your hunger. You have come there to receive what? Rima, hey, you've gotten my point. Hezekiah is sick. God is a healer. Okay, now that God has said he will not die, what do we do now to get rid of this one? So Isaiah said, all right, wait, I'm just trying to paint a picture of it. And God said, this is a sign of your faith. This is how I'm releasing my power at this time. Make a cake of figs and put it upon that. Let me tell you the truth. If they did not make that cake, and Hezekiah, even though he did not die, he would have had a sore for many years to come. Why? They missed the rima of God. Ken Hagin said something in one of his books. He said, he used to have a feeling, and how I couldn't hear that angel, I don't know. That an angel, he didn't know it was an angel, but there are times he looks, somebody's around, you understand? And he checks, there's nobody there. Let's make a long story short. Then one day the Lord appeared to him in a vision. And he saw there was one guy standing on one side behind the Lord, you know, that kind of thing. So he was giving me instructions, so he would look. Anytime he looks in that fellow's direction, the fellow will open his mouth as if he wants to talk. Now, please get something here. I'm telling you somebody's experience, but I want to show you something from the scriptures. And this applies to me. I must hear this. My wife must hear it. All right? Who else should hear it? Olayinka must hear it. You must hear it. Israel must hear it. No, Israel has heard this, in fact, a lot. Yeah, and Yinka, they went for Wavbeck. All right? So they heard it. All right? Now, all of you must hear it. Everybody must hear it. I particularly must hear this. All right? Just listen to this. Please, give me a few extra minutes. Let me just finish this. He said that the Lord will be talking to him. And anytime he looks in the direction of that guy who was standing behind the Lord, the guy will open his mouth, he wants to say something. Then he will look away, and the fellow will keep quiet. I don't know. You get my point. Assume now, you are the Lord Jesus Christ standing now. There's this guy on your side. So you are telling me things. Anytime I look in this man's direction, he will open his mouth, I want to start saying something. Then I look away, then you continue talking. After a long time, he said, now the Lord, say, who is that guy? And why is he always opening his mouth when I look in his direction? He said, oh, that's your angel. He has a message for you from God. Now, I don't want to go into details because he said the first question he asked is that if he has a message for me, the message came from God, why are you not giving it to me direct? So they had a small discussion about that. But the point is that the spiritual things have an order. That fellow had that message. And the Lord Jesus wasn't going to tell him. You either hear that guy, you won't get it. There's a reason why I'm telling the story. Because go and check when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt, and Daniel tried to interpret the dream for him. When Daniel began to speak, he said, while you were on your bed, your thoughts turned towards the things that will happen in the future. You don't know me sometimes. If you don't pay attention in a particular direction, you don't hear anything from that direction. I don't know what I get, what I'm going to explain. That's why Christians fast too. Sometimes, they're not trying to impress God. We go looking for instruction. As a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, that's what I'm talking about today. He said that man, that a number of things, but in that particular situation, the man started giving me instructions. There's a man who's contacted your ministry. He wants to help you with this. He said, don't agree to work with him. The man is a crook. So that angel gave him a number of instructions. He said, many stories, now I don't want to mix things up, but he said there was a particular time angel was supposed to give him an instruction. He did not listen. Do you know it cost him financially? The thing cost him money. That is, he was supposed to make certain changes concerning the way he did ministry. He did not. And the ministry had serious financial crisis afterwards. Why? The instruction from for then, he didn't hear it. Fasting is important. I told you once, before I got married, I needed a lot of money. Then what simply happened was that I was sharing the word with my wife. We're not married then, all right? But I was just sharing the word with her. And as I was preaching to her, I was hearing the message. I just knew I was preaching to myself. I was praying from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct people to have faith in God and not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. As I was teaching, I finished preaching. I said, this message is not for you, it's from me. Because by that time, every little dime I came across, I saved it up because I wanted to get married. And the Lord said in simple terms, you are not trusting me, you are trusting your own finances. So instruct them to be generous. So next day, I broke that habit and began to be generous. Did God give me money? No. You know what happened? I went to see a friend of mine. And listen to this. The rima of God was simple and straight from his mouth. You don't need money. So what do? Tell your in-laws you don't have money anymore. So I wrote a letter to my parents-in-law that I don't have money anymore. It's very funny. That was what I did. I still remember the words I used. I said, I'm financially exhausted. Those were the very words. It solved up. After that, nobody said, there's this one you're supposed to do again. My wife and I, and then we never talked about that letter till tomorrow. Whether they read itself, it's only my wife knows. But the instruction from God was clear for me. Listen, there are times, the problem you have had, God will, listen, and those things are not written on the pages of the Bible. That's the point. The only time you get to know them, the only time you get to hear them, are you getting where I'm going now? Is that fasting season when your thoughts turn. And one of the things God does for you in life is to beckon. If God beckons like this for 10 years, you don't stop to look and listen. You won't hear him for 10 years. And listen to this, you'll be on one spot for 10 years. One spot. You ain't going anywhere. The next sermon I want to write is to explain to people that a single act of disobedience stagnates you no matter the amount of knowledge you have. You can know the Bible cover to cover. You can preach from now to tomorrow. If God says, I've told you, anytime you want to preach, stop saying, is somebody happy there? As an example. And you say, no, this is how they do it in America. All right. It's very simple. You have all the knowledge on earth, all the instructions. God will not broadcast your voice. 40 years later, you finally realize that, why am I always saying somebody happy there? All right, those who need to be healed of sadness today, the first day you say it, the whole world will hear it. Say, why didn't I say this for 40 years? That angel will tell you that, you know that this your shoulder is always scratching you anytime you say somebody happy there. It was me trying to catch attention. You know, you always have this itch there. You want to scratch. Please, I hope you're finding what I'm saying. I hope you're finding what I'm going to say. That is, listen, what we need is what? The rima. There's a scripture I like to read. Paul was writing to Timothy. He said, from your youth you have known the holy scriptures, which they are hopeful to make you wise unto salvation. I preach a message like a wisdom of salvation. The scriptures make you wise, then they give you one instruction concerning your life, concerning your business, and it turns your life around. You can say, don't talk to your husband like this. Don't treat your workers like this. Don't do your accounts like this. Are you getting my point? My emphasis today is that you don't hear that word unless you turn to look. Go and read the story of the burning bush. I said, God beckons. Go and read that story. I don't have time to be opening to it, but go and read it. The moment the bush began to burn, the moment Moses saw the bush burning, the Bible says that he turned to look, and that when God saw that he turned to look, he began to speak. Are you getting my point? That if you saw the burning bush and said, hey, burning bush, and disappeared. That's it. No instructions, nothing. But what God did was to stir up his curiosity. The guy looked. This bush is not burning. There's fire on it, but it's not burning. What kind of fire is that? He moved closer. He began to inspect. Listen, that distracted him for once from sheep, from that pain that has been on his hip. He removed all his attention. Once he was focused on the bush that was burning, then God said, now we finally got his attention. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. That the problem, you know, prosperity itself get problem. Suffering get problem. There's nothing we not get problem in this. Some people are so occupied with their suffering. Every prayer point, they are occupied with the problem of suffering. Some are so prosperous. As they wake up in the morning, the phone don't ring. How many trailers? They don't land. Where? Who? Which custom? I'm coming. He's just waking up. The wife says, honey, how are you? I'm coming. You don't need wear trousers. What is it? I'm coming. Then he comes back home. No, he calls his wife around 12 o'clock. Sorry. Baby, please, please, I'm so sorry. I hope you took children to school. I'm coming. When he comes back at 12, don't mind them. We paid all the duties. They stopped them at nightmare. We've settled the matter. No, I'm a child of God. I will never give anybody any money. But the whole day has gone, hasn't it? That consignment made him like 20 million. Next morning, I was waking up. How are you? He's greeting his wife. Phone rings. How many of them? You haven't paid them. Why not? Oh, the check. Okay, I'm coming. He has gone again. When he gets back home, he's tired. Falls down. Falls asleep. Wakes up in the morning. Oh, Father, we worship you. This business is doing good. Hello? Oh, they have come. All right, I'm coming. This is the annoying part. Most of our churches these days, Sundays are under social activity. Yes, it is. Under social activity. First service, 9 o'clock. Everybody filing. Choir has their cue. Boom. Everybody. Oh, you dance for 15 minutes, then worship. You are worthy, oh Lord. Then somebody comes, preaches to you for 40 minutes, checks the time. Everybody close. Men, wait behind. Couples, wait on the other side. About to marry, on this side. If you have children, that side. But then you get back home in the afternoon from there to ShopRite with the children. But then you get back home in the evening, it is 6 o'clock. You are tired. You finally cross your legs. Say, oh, that film we bought since yesterday, we don't watch them. No, put them. Every day, one angel is doing like this. Excuse me, sir. Hi, sir. Hello, sir. Every day, one angel is doing like this. Hi, sir. Pastor, yeah, the boy told the story. I didn't hear it directly. I heard somebody talk about it. Once he was flying, he flew abroad. The pilot now says, sorry, we can't land. Why can't we land? The undercarriage won't come out. They're flying, undercarriage, come out, not a lie. It took the engineer on board 2 hours to release the tire. Now, this is what he said. This is why I told the story. He said he just prayed and said, Lord, well, he just prayed a very calm prayer and all of that. And the Holy Spirit said to him, in effect, I didn't hear the whole story. So he now took those 2 hours to pray and meditate. And the Lord said to him that, you see, these 2 hours is the only 2 hours you have. Once we land, welcome, Papa. This one needs counseling. This bishop here needs to be talked to. There's laying on of hands. There is preaching. So the Lord said, hey, angels, hold that undercarriage. Because this man will soon die at this rate. So they held the undercarriage. The pilot circled because Jonah. Jonah took the flight. Who wouldn't agree to rest when he was supposed to rest? You are too busy prospering. Sometimes it's a problem. That's why Christians fast. When we have problems, therefore, you say, this problem, we have to fast about it. Listen, let me tell you something. If you rebuke something, in Jesus' name, come out! It doesn't come out. Maybe it's not the problem. It is God himself that's saying, come close first now. So when you rebuke it today, it not go. You anoint them tomorrow, it not go. It's okay, you have to first praise God. You praise God over it, it not go. Finally leave it. Say, God, well, let's see. Then you now turn aside to what? Look. That is the word. You turn aside to look. Then when God sees that you have turned aside, are you getting my point? Then he can now begin to utter the instructions. Separate for me this part of your house, this part of your business, this part of your life for the work that have commanded it, you understand, that have created it for. For example, there are those who will say, henceforth, no business before 9. And you know, Satan overhears when things like that are happening. The next day, the juiciest business will come at 7:30. But they just told you, no business before 9. If you obey that instruction, you realize that that business was a joke. The ones that will come later. Many businesses are on one spot because the fellow, the man, the woman has not been able to settle down and get instructions for what is supposed to be next. Many ministries are on one spot because the man is very busy. He's always preaching, so he feels he's working. You know, many preachers, they don't invite them tire. You know, musicians, that's why they burn out sharp. By the time they invite you, they said the Shino Peter has played in, that's when Shino Peter, you know, Ijo Shino, you remember Ijo Shino? Okay, if you were not born that time, go and ask those who were born. But the days of Ijo Shino, they said Ijo Shino played 360 days or 62 days in 1 year. Have you noticed that after Ijo Shino, there was standstill Shino after that? Oh boy, disappear after that. I tell musicians, no matter how popular you are, tell yourself from beginning, 3 weeks in a month is maximum. After that, we know they do. In fact, 2 weeks. Another week, we are in the studio. Then the other 1 week, we are not doing anything. Will they go to church? Will they relax? We don't do anything. It's the only way you will endure. It's the only way you won't be on one spot forever. It's the only way you will know how to stop circling this mountain and turning northward. I hope you are getting my point. It's the only way. That is what fasting is for Christians. That's what it is. That is what it is for believers. It is not how to punish my stomach to ensure that God sees that I'm really suffering and answers me. It is the time. That's why I said at the beginning, you cannot set a limit for it. It's a 30-day fast. No. I'm not saying you will not say, okay, for the next 20 until we get an answer, we're not doing anything again. But you can say definitely, until we get an answer, this is the restructured life we are going to live. And listen, God will answer. Are you getting my point? The Lord God will answer you. How does he speak different ways? My story I told you was a friend that spoke. Are you getting my point? Now, hey, my time is gone. Well, let me drop this if we can't finish it. Just for 5 minutes, please. Not up to 5 minutes. Different people have had different ways. They have heard different ways of how you minister to God and wait upon. But that's what the Bible calls waiting upon the Lord. When he said that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me talk about that briefly. That word wait. People say to wait of God, upon God means to be fasting, to go hungry. Literally what that word wait means. I heard RB Time analyze it. He said it means, we call it time, we can't talk about it, but what he was saying that is the sense that of a rope. A rope that is twisted, that to make a rope strong, you twist it, you take like three and twist them together. That what that word weight there in Hebrew meant was that whoever depends on the Lord for strength, are you getting my point? Wraps himself on the Lord. Let me add my words. Wraps himself with the word of God. That's the one that will renew his strength. It's not the man who goes hungry and thinks that he's serving God in what he calls fasting. People have talked about different ways of waiting upon God. Sometimes they cross their legs and meditate. Now, what I want to say is not doctrine. It's not gospel. What I'm like, it's not hard, fast doctrine. It's just personal experience. Are you getting my point? I'm not good with that. Some people say they go pray in tongues until their spirit is quiet. It doesn't work for me. Amen? I'm not the pretend though. Some say when they want to wait on God, they can pray and pace for a long time. Some will kneel down and pray. It doesn't work for me. Maybe it works for you. I tell you, it's not a doctrine. Even though I know I'm influencing you with what I'm saying. But I'm not saying it's hard and fast rule. Personally, if I have to do that, what I have found most effective is simple. I take a Bible and read. I take a book and read. I take messages and play. I'm a teacher of the Word of God. This is one thing I find. It happens to me all the time. Let me give an example. I say the year has come to an end, and I feel I've preached. You know, if you are in my shoes, you understand. If you preach twice a week, three times a week on average, you understand? There are times you go preach, you know, say, I don't have any other thing to preach again. I've preached everything that I know. But you know what I found out about me? I used to worry those days, not in quote worrying, like, ah, maybe that's it to preach again next year. Not lie. Just give me one weekend in which, not be prayer, you know, someone say, ah, Father God, I need new revelation. Let the world begin to comfort. Anointing must increase. It's good. I don't need that kind of prayer. I just need a season in which I don't preach, but I listen to somebody else preaching. Sometimes they don't even have to say anything yet. They just get up and say, what I want to preach to you today is from the book of Jeremiah chapter 2. I have a message for the next 1 year. The man hasn't said anything. He has not said the word. I have been in a place where the man wants to preach. Open your Bible to Psalm 1 and his whole message for the day is suddenly in my head. I'm not kidding about that. I want to show you today something from the book of Psalm 1. As I open to Psalm 1, I don't know yet, though. Suddenly something just connects in me. And I say, wow, this is like this. Then the man starts preaching. Everything he's planning to say. I heard it in the first 1 minute. He had not said anything more than open your Bible to Psalm 1. I have noticed, therefore, personally, I want more revelation. All I need to do is turn in a direction and look. I don't know whether I get my point. I just walk to my shelf, pick a few books. What matters at certain times is that I'm rested. My mind is turned in a particular direction. You know why? Because that revelation is actually always flowing forth. It's whether I'm paying it attention or I'm not paying it attention. That's why Kenneth Hagin said that the angel, anytime he looks like the angel would like, he wants to start talking. Then he's like, why are you talking to me? Then he looks in another direction. The angel keeps quiet. I hope you got what I've said. I said, let me draw that for a few minutes. I want to stop now, all right? How do I wait? How do I minister to God? How do I fast? That's why I told you that it differs from person to person. But whatever way it is, you must understand that as a believer, you are not trying to please God with your self-abasement. You have understood that without that rima, I may not leave this spot where I am for the next place where I'm supposed to be. So we make it a habit regularly to set time aside and focus. And then when there's crisis, you don't rebuke today, it will not shift. You anoint tomorrow, it will not budge. It is God calling you. It's a bush burning. He's trying to get your attention. Then you now set time out. That's why you can't say it's a 5-day fast. You can just take the initial 5 days to do excessive focusing, but your mind is constantly tuned. Why? You are looking for the specific instruction for your life to move you in the next direction. And what the devil tries to do, what life, let me not even say devil now, tries to do, is to keep you so occupied, you can't pay attention to hear. I hope you've gotten to my point for today. I hope you've learned something. I hope what I said is clear. Yes, all right, make me happy and say